He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello to our listeners for this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. It was a big weekend, the week this show is done at Lime Rock, and we'll get a report from Jay shortly. I want to know, I have a question for listeners, not to be answered by calling into the station or anything, but just for your own knowledge base on cars. How many people hearing this show have ever heard of a car named the Topolino? It's Italian for tiny mouse.
Well, you're good with foreign languages. I did not know that, but I did read a little bit about it. And it
that's what I want to talk about because it is coming to our, a Fiat dealer far from us. Anyways, it's coming to America. It may already be here. I don't know if the ships come in or the planes have come in with the load of them. It's a tiny all-electric, and I mean tiny vehicle, that is going to be buyable in this country for somewhere around $15,000 before dealer markups and whatever else may happen. It's all electric. I haven't read many of the details about it. Jay, if you can fill us in, you can when I stop talking. It's going to be obviously just primarily ideally used for a little commuter car, maybe in urban areas. Jay, any more knowledge about that?
So I saw the pictures. It crossed. It was on
like a Smart 4.2 or smaller.
Yes, it's pretty cool looking. It reminds you of the Topolino of many years ago. Fiat did have that small little car decades ago. The electric version is it's actually not a car, and herein lies the problem.
The golf cart.
It is, yeah, I think the speed is somewhere like 15 miles an hour.
19, so, I'm looking at those details. Yeah, you're correct. So, 19, and the range is pitiful.
Yes, all of the above. So if Fiat cannot sell a 500, if we can't sell Smarts for two in this country, how the heck are we going to sell a car that's slower than a golf cart?
And
don't get me wrong.
46 miles.
And if it is sold as a vehicle and targeted directly at Polaris and golf carts and, 55 plus communities in Florida and the like, yeah, maybe there is a market for that. But it is not a car. I don't think it will ever be classified as a car. And I don't think we will see it on the roads here in the U.S. I mean, and I could be wrong. Again, I have very little information on it. But I can tell you that in Europe, that Renault has the same type of vehicle that is really cool looking. And basically, it's a class of vehicles that they sell in several countries in Europe. And they classify as mopeds and non-cars. And you can drive them without a license. And they are limited to, I think, in Europe at 40 k's an hour. And those are they're great in urban areas. And for, people who've had DUIs and can't get a driver's license anymore. So, I don't think we'll be seeing many here. Unless you start targeting, golf country clubs and gated communities and things like that. But it's a cool concept and it looks cool. I'll give you that.
It does look cool. The picture I'm looking at as I'm doing this report on this is a vision of a sighting of a Topolino, I guess, Topolino, on a beach somewhere in the country. It has Fiat and where the license plate may not have to be. Jay, you mentioned it may not have to be licensable. And it has a piece of luggage strapped to the back window of what looks to be a hard top on top with a roll back sunroof. Anyways, having read the details of the mileage the miles per hour limitation, which is extreme at sub 20 miles an hour, I do not know anybody around here that would like to be behind one puttering through our village areas, but that would be the right speed for this car to be in and doing where the crosswalks all are, the blind crosswalks where people step out between parked cars. just an added comment. But it only has an estimated range up to 46 miles, Jay, which obviously could get us from Sharon to Salisbury and back, around, or maybe to Canaan and back on a single charge, maybe slightly longer. I agree with Jay, listeners, that I don't think we're going to see many in this corner, but somebody will inevitably buy something, and we will see it on our streets, because I find that our northwest corner, as remote as it may be from some logical areas for cars, all types of cars are being visible. We seem to catch a vision of just about any new car that comes on sometime around within a year or so of its if its appearance in a dealership in our area. But so it'll be one to look out for those sharp-eyed car users like you and I, Jay. And we'll see whether we come up and bump one in the back, because it's going so slow we can't brake in time to run into it. All right? Lime Rock.
Lime Rock, it was NASCAR weekend. So
Truck weekend.
Speaking of motorsports, and we don't talk a lot about motorsports, and this show is not really about motorsports, but motorsports are part of the car
industry.
And here at Lime Rock, we've had over the years a bunch of different sanctioning bodies come through and hold major events, and they have had, different levels of success over the years. Over the years, Trans Am, IMSA have been the road racing series that have been popular. But on a national level, nothing comes even close to NASCAR, right? I mean, it is the biggest form of auto racing in this country. And NASCAR is basically oval racing, or, roundy round in circles, left hand turn only racing. And some of it is very, very good racing. All of it is mostly very good racing. It's very close racing. And I'll go on another tangent in a second, but NASCAR has also branched out in different of their series and gone held races on road courses. And you've seen NASCAR races at the highest level at tracks in California. You've seen them at Watkins Glen up in upstate New York. And the truck series, the Craftsman Truck Series, which is NASCAR's, I'm going to say, second highest ranking series, does come here to Lime Rock Park. And this year was the second year that they came. And these are they're called trucks, but basically they're tube-framed chassis. They are basically the same as a stock car. They're just the bodies on them are made to look, make them look like trucks. Very powerful. A lot of fun to watch on track. I've read reports. I did not see the. I was otherwise busy at the track, but I did not see the races themselves. People have complained that the racing is boring, but to be frank, a lot of the good racing is kind of boring, because if the cars are going at the same speed and the drivers are of the same skill, making passes, which is what really spectators want to see, it's hard to do. But back
with
to
the resulting accidents.
Yeah, and thankfully, there were no major crashes at the track, I believe, this weekend. And motorsports in general has become a much safer sport than it has been. But again, is that technology that you see in race cars for driver's protection the same as what we see in street cars? Not really, but street cars have also become a lot more a lot safer than they used to be. I mean, I remember riding with you in your RX-7, which is a great little sports car. But with you at the wheel and me sitting in the passenger seat, I just looked all around me and I thought, wow, if Robin misses this turn, there's not much around me to protect me.
Absolutely correct, Jay. I interject because I happened to watch the race. It was on TV, ESPN, I think, had it. Anyways, I watched about 15 minutes of it. And to your story about you, to your comment about the protection, I was astounded at what the head protection is. I never had seen the inside of a NASCAR race vehicle, much less a truck. But it looked to me like the head was in a horseshoe-like structure.
Correct.
And I didn't know how the driver could really look too far to the left or right.
It don't.
Beyond it.
It can't.
But it was an amazing piece of safety equipment. I guess it would do its trick, if, and probably has done its trick in a serious accident. But to your point about the safety features in these vehicles, they are extreme in terms of design and, when I saw it, visual appearance.
Well, in crashes, that remains the, you know, the toughest
neck protection.
Safety, neck protection and head protection. I mean, I forget what our heads weigh in proportion to the rest of our bodies, but heads are very heavy. And when a vehicle crashes and comes to an abrupt stop, all that mass moves forward and then slams back in your headrest. And I mean, that's the hardest part in a car. Like you hit head on, your head goes forward and then
Correct.
Snaps back. There's not much you can do about that in a street car. In racing, they have what they call hands devices, which is your helmet is attached in the back of from the back of your head to a device that you wear on your shoulders, over your shoulders, over your head, on your shoulder, that comes to in front of your over your shoulders in the back and in the front on your chest.
So it's like a seatbelt retraction protection.
It attaches the helmet to this device that you wear on your or strapped on your shoulders. Anyway, and it keeps your head from going forward.
Right. That's the whole okay. thing. And then the design of the head holder, so-called head holder. Obviously, if your head snaps back, it's going to hit the back of a holder, which is just like a seat back.
By the way, and going on a tangent here, headrests in cars. This is 2026,
yes.
And I still cannot believe that a few car manufacturers, now I'm going on the little rant, do not have adjustable headrests, and it drives me absolutely crazy.
I agree.
And I just hate having my head pushed forward in a car. And certain cars, most cars, you can adjust the
they tilt a bit in the mini cars.
Yes,
the headrests,
and then in some car and in all cars, the way the headrest moves is a bit different. But like I remember when I years ago got my Subaru Forester, that the headrest was propped forward in a way that you couldn't even hold your head straight. And I still see Subarus with the the front headrest totally angled forward and people struggling in them. And
I think the only way to adjust them is to adjust the seat back, which means you go back, goes back,
actually,
and the headrest goes up as opposed to leaning forward. But then it's back so far you want to tilt it forward again.
Hold on. In the Subaru, it's totally adjustable. So the headrests go up and up and down.
And they tilt?
And they tilt, absolutely.
Okay.
In some cars, that's totally electric and automated. Like in a Mercedes, the headrest goes up and down and then forward and backwards. Not at an angle, just the whole headrest moves forward or backwards. In some cars, it's a mechanical thing where you hold a button on the side. But so it's important to have your head protection and having the headrest close to your head. But depending on your seat angle, that headrest should be able to be adjusted one way or another.
And
in some cars, it just cannot. And I don't want to name any, but I can think of few, unless I have not figured out how to do it. And for instance, the Rivian I drove last week, the headrest is not adjustable. And to me, it's one of the deal breakers. But anyway,
okay.
enough about headrests.
Okay.
To Lime Rock, the crowd was big. The first question that comes to everybody's lips is, was it as big as last year? I don't know. It was a big crowd. I think the event was a success. It was well run. But NASCAR brings a crowd that is just a NASCAR crowd, and they just follow the series wherever it goes. So we'll see what next year brings. And I know there was another car event this week in our area, in the Falls Village Car Show, which has become a really big thing. And unfortunately, we've heard a little bit about it, but unfortunately, I was not able to go.
And neither was I. I do know a couple of people who were there. It was extremely well attended, both by participants apparently bringing their vehicles in, and by the crowds that came to see them. I think our producer had another comment that's saying that it's gotten really huge, and it keeps Falls Village somewhat alive because Falls Village doesn't have much going on it in other parts of the year than this event, which I is this a two per year event? I thought it was in the fall, and this one just occurred over our broadcast weekend of this show.
No, there is another car show, and it's coming at on Labor Day weekend, and that's part of the Historic Festival at Lime Rock. So,
Oh, okay. All right.
when we have that car parade every year coming
Yes.
up on Labor Day weekend, and it'll go through our towns here, and then all those cars end up at Falls at in the center of Falls Village, and there's like a big party in the center of town, and that is also a great event to attend. So, Robin, you should go to Falls Village at least twice a year.
Well, okay, and so should
Well,
you.
actually, there's also real estate in
But
Falls Village.
this year's event at Lime Rock started off with the Thursday afternoon monster tractor trailer truck parade that started somewhere, I think, around the White Hart Inn and went through. And those of us who were lucky enough to be in Salisbury, Lakeville, up the hill, I don't know whether, I think it went over near the Interlaken Inn and maybe a couple other areas, saw these giant car truck carriers, which you see at the track, Jay, because they're all parked there. And they, I
Right.
presumably, carried the vehicles that were racing to the track. Whether,
Yes,
but,
it. Yes.
and it was quite a interesting event to me because I hadn't really seen it, but I was in my office in Lakeville on the main street, and there were people sitting in lounge chairs waiting for it to happen. And then these great honking, I mean, these tractor trailers, I was looking at the rear axle structure of these trailers. They are longer than I think the tractor trailers that we see generally on the byways, just with the Amazon plastered on them or whatever else they're hauling. But it
Well,
was.
I think they're limited to 53 feet, which is the maximum length of
Oh,
trailers.
okay.
But they are 53 foot car
Tread.
haulers, and they're
Yeah.
specifically designed to haul race cars. So, just to go into nitty gritty of it all very quickly, the cars actually sit very high up in the truck, and then
Inside.
there's a whole
Okay.
yes, and then there's a whole. Shop area in the, on the bottom. So the back of the trucks opens up and then there's a and turns into a lift and the cars are stored, one or two cars on the very top of the trailer.
Okay. Well, they all have to be balanced probably for weight distribution. In any event, some of the drivers blasted their horns and made a lot of noise, and I think it was entertaining to say the least. And it lasted maybe 10 minutes before all the vehicles got through and went by the office, and then went head. I think they headed up towards Hotchkiss School, and I later saw them coming back from Interlaken Inn area. So. Who knows? But I didn't even count them. But I, there were many manufacturers, brands were all plastered on the side, and some of the manufacturers had like four to five of these vehicles, and others only had one or two. So I guess it was just, I don't know what the numerical numbers of the brands of trucks that were on the track were concerned. But it was a nice start to the whole race weekend, I think, for many of us.
Yes, it was. So let's talk about our everyday cars again.
Yes.
I have a question for you. It just popped up and then I started looking at answers. What car brand makes just one great cars and then everything else in the lineup is just like you can forget about it? That's a
I think you should answer it. I think you should answer the question, Jay, because I don't know whether you're talking about Fiat or whether you're talking about
Oh, no, I
a
can't
large
name one.
manufacturer.
No, it was a funnily worded question, and most people didn't really get the question. But I guess, you know, a lot of brands are famous for one of their models, and then the rest is just an afterthought. Or in the case of Porsche, for instance, the 911 was the sole model, and the company was going broke, and they scrambled to put out another sports car, the Boxster, in the late 90s, and then in the early 2000s decided to,
Oh, the
you know,
four-door sedans,
well, first an
the
SUV.
928s.
The 928 is a two-door sports car with,
Oh, okay. Well, then the nine. There's a four-door one that was out though. That's still out, I believe.
yeah, but before they did that, they came out with the Cayenne in the early 2000s. I think it's like
Right.
2004. And today, if you look at Porsche production numbers and sales numbers, you know, the majority of their cars are SUVs. And it goes, you know, to the sad fact that if you don't make an SUV, it's hard to be a successful car manufacturer. And you look at Bentley made an SUV, Rolls-Royce makes an SUV, Ferrari makes an SUV. Poor old Enzo is rolling over in his grave. But it's hard to not have an SUV in your lineup, or two or three. But the Porsche 911 is still like the center of the brand. But I don't know, think of other brands or not, move on.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on this because I have no idea what the proper answer was unless you
There's
just
no proper
provided it to
answer.
our listeners.
It's just, yeah, there's no proper answer. So, what else have you read about this week?
Not much that I find that could be interesting. I was looking at recent recalls, and we haven't looked at recalls or discussed recalls that are produced by by a corporate situation and tells you that you, an owner listening, that maybe your car is going to get send you a re your manufacturer of your car is going to send you a recall notice about something to do with technical issues such as touchscreens that don't show backup cameras working when you're backing up and or else mechanical in terms of something that didn't get manufactured properly, and they finally figured out what it is. And months after it, the car has been on the road, maybe in our listeners' hands, something comes to the manufacturer's attention that there's something amiss in the manufacture of the vehicle that you or me might own, and they put it out on this weekly recall thing that you can look at online. And there hasn't been much of interest recently, and I'm trying to pull it back up as I'm talking about it because I had it on before the show.
Well, actually, one caught my attention, and it actually was a bit surprising to me. I guess Kia and maybe Hyundai too with the Palisade, but the Kia Telluride, for which is a great vehicle, great SUV, apparently has issues with electric seat motors that keep on running,
Okay.
and that can eventually catch fire.
Burn.
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah, well, that's
so.
the kind of thing.
That's the kind of thing that is kind of serious.
That is kind of serious, but it doesn't make the national news generally. Or if it does, it makes it one night. And if you were lucky enough to have seen the news on that night, you might realize that you're the owner of a car that has an electric seat that motors, which is stuck on and overheats and is going to ignite the interior of your car, which is what I guess that would do, right, Jay? If it happened.
I guess.
That's a pretty serious recall. And unless you are attuned into this particular weekly thing, which I am not reading regularly anymore, anybody could miss until hopefully the event would not happen in the car they might be driving with this potential problem before they got a notice in the mail and were able to get to a dealer and were able to get it fixed.
Hey, so before we go, a little safety tip. You know, and it's been a week now since we had the storm,
Yes.
the whether it was tornado or a major storm, whatever you want to call it, but it impacted driving in the area in the moment, but also in the days following.
Right.
And I have since talked to at least one person who is very much involved in directing traffic and in being part of the emergency crews. And we just have to remind people, if there's a sign that says road closed, there's probably a good reason, and probably a good reason you're not going to get to where you want to go on that particular road, whether it be because there are trees across the road or downed wires. There have been a lot of wires down, and hopefully we don't have this kind of storms again anytime soon.
Anytime soon again, I
But
agree.
the rule in general is, like, be courteous. I mean, there were a lot of one-lane roads in the first few days. There were not necessarily any traffic people, just because crews were spread very thin. Let's be courteous, keep our eyes peeled, and no, not get in the cars and go and scout the area to see to count all the trees that fell down on the road. Try to keep the roads clear. But basically, follow direction and be careful, and try not to be in the storm itself.
Well, to the safety part of this, which is a very smart thing to be talking about, because there were numerous places where trees and roads were down to one lane for days at a time. They did not just get these roadways opened up both ways in a very quick way because of the numbers of areas where trees were blocking roads one lane or another. What they first had to do in many cases was to get one lane open at all. And some roads were closed probably the first over the night of the storm that hit us, which was the first I've ever seen, like the one we had over this last storm weekend. But an example of a road that seemed to be closed for a long time was right in the middle of Salisbury by the town hall, which goes up to Selick Hill and up to Mount Raga. They had a man with a flag, making sure that nobody tried to go up and look at what might have been found up there. And there was a way to get around this if you had to go up to some of the destinations at the blocked area on the main street at the corner of the main street of Salisbury and the road leaving it. There were two or three other workaround ways to go, which local people would know, but tourists might not. But there were those branches that took down the wires and the poles. The tr trees that took those down were largest trees I've ever seen down in our area for some time. And we're getting back to normal as this show is being done, which is nice for everybody around here. But it certainly there was internet out and communications were out for days at a time in at various time frames. Between the towns of Salisbury, Falls Village, Lakeville. Sharon had power outages, but notably not much tree damage. We were amazingly exempt from the storm, the tree damage part of the storm that came through the Salisbury, center of Salisbury area. But the safety, the driving safely through those areas is a very, does require patience and an awareness that you can't just race through our roads when events like this occur in a safe manner. And you should be, I think all of us were mostly aware of it in time to be driving at a moderate rate of speed where all these areas were. But there were occasional, as some of the repairs I noted, some of the repair places were being cleaned up. People started to drive quickly again, and only to come around a corner and find that there was a place that still had not been cleaned up, and you had to put your brakes on fairly firmly when you got surprised by a remaining area of repairs being done, which lingered up to, I think, 4 or 5 days after the storm came through.
All right, on that note, let's go drive cars. Are you still driving your Mustang convertible?
I am.
All right, good
And
for you.
it is a great period of time in our weather for convertible use, and I've seen loads of convertibles out, and it's been a very nice vehicle to have. Although, driving it when the outside temperatures, between 80 and 90 degrees, only being able to drive it at a safe but maybe fairly quick rate of speed makes the convertible even comfortable.
It's an
because of the heat.
evening. It's an evening car.
It's an evening car or early morning car. And I think we're just about out of time. So until next week, we are Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.